Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Defense on quick changes can come up with a big play. What do you attribute that to? And is that an area that you guys focus on that a lot?
You know, as I mentioned, they made some plays.
Yeah, I think at that point you just got to put all the ebbs and flows of the game behind you and look ahead. And credit to our defense for getting us the ball back. Time on the clock and giving us a chance to win it.
Or you can credit the Bears running back for falling down and giving them the ball back. Of course, then James Pierre, I still don't know what happened on that play. They ran a quick clip. They didn't really cover it. It was only one of the biggest plays in the game, and the broadcast gave some weird little clip and didn't even talk about it and didn't bring, well, so they did bring on Steratore, who said, yes, if there's an injury, even when the clock is stopped, you get docked that last time out. To which I would have said, okay, is there a time frame on how quick you have to get off the field? Because it didn't seem like the game was delayed at all. The Bears lined up to punt right away. Like why were they docked a timeout?
I don't like that whole thing. Hypothetically, let's say that, you know, when somebody goes down and they have to be carted off the field.
Then, yeah.
And are you charged with an injury because someone had a serious
exactly.
when charge with a timeout? Well, that makes no sense to me.
So why is that rule in there?
Because they're trying to prevent
fake injuries.
Yeah,
I know.
Flopping.
I know. But then the question but how is it an advantage with the clock stop, Bob? That doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. I don't like that whole concept.
Why would a fake injury matter if the clock is stopped?
Yeah, it shouldn't, because the clock stopped.
So then I have to ask about Pierre. It didn't look like he was actually hurt. I could be very wrong about that. It looked like he flopped when he tripped over DJ Moore.
Yeah, I don't know.
And if he was actually hurt, why wouldn't his teammates be alert and literally dragging him off the field so that they're not docked a timeout that may have cost them a football game that might cost them the division and a playoff spot?
Well, if
I'm baffled.
If he's legitimately hurt and you start doing that, you could hurt him more. I don't know. You know,
well,
some
it certainly
guys are,
wasn't a catastrophic injury because the game didn't even
I've
stop.
I've seen a lot of non-contact injuries that you would never suspect was a problem and it turned out to be good. So I don't know the answer to that, but I never did like that rule.
That would be one of my first questions for Tomlin is, Mike, what happened on that play? What did Pierre not get off the field in time? And if not, why not?
Yeah, good question. I don't know.
Sports Talk on the Fan presented by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Bob, I have an early dismissal today. A couple more minutes here, and then the show is all yours, which is what you and Limits have plotted all along anyway.
We have.
And you'll probably bring Donnie Football back and try and get me fired.
No, we wouldn't go that far.
No, that's way too far.
You drive the bus here.
I don't
the wheels on the bus go Joe,
round
Joe,
and
Joe,
round.
Joe, Joe, Joe,
Joe, Joe, Joe,
Joe, Joe, Joe.
The wheels on the bus go round, Joe, 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 all through the town.
Let's hit the defense. Defensive line from Ray Fittipaldo gets a D.
Yeah, they weren't very active, though. You know,
no.
And you want to see more plays from them, especially, you know, they did a good job for the most part hemming that, you know, prolific run game down. They've been averaging a lot. They're one of the best running teams in the NFL, so they didn't do that. But they also didn't create enough interior pressure on the quarterback and make him move.
No, and they seemed to get runs when they really, really needed them. And then down on the goal line, as we talked about earlier, Trey Essex was like, why do we only have two down linemen in on a third down play from the goal line? Why do we have a nickel defense on the field? And Cam and Keanu Benton, and Essex's point is that Benton gets destroyed in double teams at the point of attack. And man, he got pushed. Him and Cam both got pushed into the end zone and they walked in. So yeah, I say a D's fair. How about the linebackers, Bob? Ray gives them a B minus.
Well, they had the one big play, the combination strip sack touchdown. That's a big play.
That's big.
The inside linebackers didn't do all that much to me to make me think that they deserve a, you know, I'll probably give them a C, just average, because I didn't see anything that makes me go above average and anything that makes me egregiously go below.
Yeah, I hear that. I thought there were some missed tackles, though, and I thought they didn't get much of a pass rush, and I thought they got smoked in coverage. So I'm going to give them a D to a D minus. Limits?
I give them a C because I think the Watt play was a big one in the game and the Herbig one at the time. The inside linebackers, though, again, where's Patrick Queen?
Well, Patrick Queen, why don't you play that clip here in a minute for Bob? First, fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Bob, this is Patrick Queen seemingly and biting his tongue. Ray Fittipaldo or Brian Bacco described it. He was literally sucking his teeth as he talked here, seemingly not wanting to say what he was really feeling, but he still said a lot.
This was to Batco in the Post-Gazette.
Why do you think they were really good guys as open as they were today?
I think we just got to be better, honestly. I think sometimes it was schematic issues that we had. It's kind of hard, you know, for two guys as underneath defenders to try to guard two routes, you know, that's overhanging off the hashes and stuff. As much as you know it, you're trying to play the run, you try to get back to a bang or whatever it is, it's hard to do that. It's kind of a bad spot to be in, but at the end of the day, we just got to be better. Trying to recognize and get back.
So you said schematics again. That's if
schematic
I had,
issues.
If I had one word to describe yesterday, it would have been schematic. They did not do the right thing schematically. They weren't able to stop Chicago from making those big plays in the middle of the field. And on the other side of it, schematically, they didn't do enough to attack what was their vulnerability yesterday. All these injuries, backups, even backups leaving the game. That's an opportunity. As I said before, you know, Austin, they're a team and they should be like most teams. When you see somebody go out, like, for example, a star cornerback leaves the game and they have a young kid, they attack. Every team goes after that weak link. They want to find it. Well, there were plenty of them yesterday in Chicago's defense, and yet it seemed like they were just content to do what they were doing instead of some big strikes and big plays down the middle. I would like to know how that goes, just out of curiosity. How deep is the playbook, and how many things can you pull from the playbook? They knew going into that they had some injury problems, maybe not as severe as they found out over the weekend. But that's where I would have said, okay, this is where they're vulnerable. This is how we attack it this week.
Well, I think that they were able to do that in terms of second-level runs at times with Warren and with Gainwell because they were running the ball very well, significantly more rushing yards than they had passing yards. So I do think that because of that, and they discussed how many inside linebackers were hurt, and that's heart of a defense over the middle of the field. You put out the map from Next Gen Stats, they never even attacked it. They never even looked at times to the middle of the field. And I feel like this is just beating the same old drum that we continually beat, but they even had a corner that went out of the game, what, halfway through or into the third quarter that they didn't try to exploit. Those are matchups, Bob, that you think that McVay, that Shanahan's, that those types of coaches would try to push the envelope on. And why Arthur Smith didn't, or maybe Mason Rudolph just decided not to make the decision, I don't get it.
Yeah. I mean, they had their good moments this year, too, and they made some good strategic moves. I think of the win over the Colts and Shane Steichen. I think of Brian Flores in Dublin. They had the better. They outsmarted him on a lot of plays. So, I mean, there are opportunities there to make some changes and to attack weaknesses. I just think in this game they didn't do enough of it through the air. That's the way I would have proceeded here. But there are a lot of things in this game that didn't go right and a lot of big plays as a result of them. One of them was I want to go back to that field goal potential at the end of when it was the first tush push. I forget what part of the game that was in. It was early. But they failed, even though they got it. Number one, I have an issue with replay assist. If you have it, why not use it there? It should have been clear to everyone on the field. In fact, they first marked it as if it was a first down.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
I mean, they looked at the sideline judges were coming in. They were on that yellow line. But then they seemed to retreat and go backwards. And I don't know why they did that.
Well, and the other thing about that, too, is it's not like the whistle had blown to stop forward progress.
No, you never do that in a tush push. Wait.
There was never a whistle until after Connor Hayward was like looking over to the sideline to see if he had picked up the first down. Which by the time he had that extra effort, that extra push, he had it. So I don't know why it was ruled and why it wasn't overturned with replay. There was no announcement given of forward progress was stopped. It was just that they had marked him short, even though the replay clearly showed that Hayward had picked up the first down. So again, something else that we just have not been given any clarity on.
Right, and it's not used as much as I would like. You have it there for a reason. So use it on plays like that because that's a significant play. So they didn't get it, and Chicago goes right down and scores. The other option on that play was to kick a field goal, just say fourth and one, and people would have been upset. Well, you got to go for it on fourth and one. I get all that. Most of the time when we discuss things, it's whether or not a play was successful. And it could be a great call, Olszewski throwing a touchdown pass to Jameis Winston. If that's not successful, can you imagine the outcry after that one? What are you doing throwing Gunnar Olszewski in that? But it worked, so it was classified as a great play. Conversely, when things, you know, don't work, you look at it as, why did you not kick the field goal there? It's
exactly.
Easy to do it. But having said that, before that was, I'm okay with them going for it on fourth round. I thought that was my immediate response. But I can understand because we saw a lot of people on Twitter say, just kick three, make it a 10-point game. Your stance on that is what?
I had no problem with it, Bob. No problem.
So you wouldn't second guess it either. I don't second guess when I first guess what I think they should do and they agree with it.
Well, I mean, human nature, you do second guess some things. This was not one that I second guessed, no.
No.
Because of how effective the play is, obviously the Eagles run it so effectively, but the Steelers have picked it up other than this occasion all but what, like one time?
Yeah.
They've been pretty good at it.
And the second time they had it was a brilliant play design, and no one expected coming. It was a couple of weeks ago I saw Mark Andrews of the Ravens do it. But he was the guy who handed the ball and just ran. This was a handoff, and then was it a handoff? Did he get it from
Shaq? It was a handoff from Hayward, yes.
Yeah, Hayward hands it off, and then he goes. So, I mean, that was a really well-designed play. But, you know, the bottom line is, when we look back at these games, there's always going to be stuff we break down and think, should have done this, should have done that. Overall, though, my point will be, and it was yesterday in our post-game show with Chris Hogue, they did not do enough to attack the vulnerability of the Chicago Bears. To me, that's the story of the game.
Easily. And the other thing that really stood out to me, Bob, is it. Maybe you agree with this. It didn't seem like they trusted Mason Rudolph to attack downfield. And, of course, all those short throws are pretty much evidence of that. But after the interception with DK Metcalf, it seemed like, oh, Tomlin, we're going to put the leash back on. We do not want any interceptions. How are we going to win games? Turnovers. And from a team in Chicago that had the best turnover margin, the best differential in all of football, they gave it to you twice, and it seemed like it didn't even matter. Sure, it put 7 points on the board, but ultimately was not a big factor in the result of the game for the Steelers. It wasn't. They weren't able to fully take advantage of the other one.
They won the turnover battle. Normally, they talk about that in a good way. This was not that way. Next up, it's the Bills, then the Ravens. The Steelers are early 4-point underdogs at home in this game, despite the fact the Bills have really struggled. It will be interesting to see which Steeler team shows up, because I do think there could be a situation here where they come out and just take it to them and win a game you didn't expect them to win. You got to figure out what to do with Josh Allen. He's the one thing, even when all things are going bad, that he could single-handedly win, and he did a couple of weeks ago when he accounted for 3 passing touchdowns and 3 running touchdowns.
I feel bad with capital letters for this game, Bob, and there's a couple of reasons. Now, you might be saying, well, like, have you watched the Bills play football this year? They have a lot of issues, and yes, I do admit to that. But when it comes down to it in a game like this, playoff indications on the line, it's going to come down to quarterback play. And have the Steelers shown that they're able to, other than Lamar, play well against very mobile quarterbacks that can create and move on the run and make things happen? And well, I think Josh Allen ultimately is going to be the driving force, like he is in all Bills games, but be the reason why Buffalo, yes, does win this game. I feel really bad about this game, Bob, coming up.
And this is one of those they really have. I will attach a must win on it. I mean, given where we are, this is week 13, given where they are in the standings and the tie-breaking scenario, people don't want to reserve must until it's absolutely must. But for me, it's a home game. It's a team that's not playing well. You need to win it. Get to a tie-breaking advantage over them if it comes down to it, plus the AFC and other tiebreakers. So it's very big that way. All right, let's also talk about the situation. I want to get into Pitt a little bit because we haven't done that. But I think this is very interesting that they now are in a position where they first knocked out Georgia Tech. So they knocked them out, and Georgia Tech looks terrible. Quite frankly, you'd have to admit the ACC is not a good conference.
No.
However, somebody's going to get to that championship game, and at this moment, Pitt needs to win, and they need either SMU to lose to Cal, or they need Virginia to lose to Virginia Tech. Miami, on the other hand, is the highest-ranked team in the ACC, even though they're not among those one-loss teams. If they beat Pitt, and then one of those other things happens, they get an opportunity in the championship game. What do you think is most likely to happen?
If you're saying if Miami does go to the ACC championship game, or
if Miami wins, they will be hit. They don't control their destiny.
No, not at all. They need
help,
a lot.
And so does Pitt, but they need more help than Pitt does.
Correct.
So
what do I think is going to happen?
It's got to start with Pitt winning the game.
I think Pitt's going to win this game against Miami. I thought that the road was beat Notre Dame, lose to Georgia Tech, beat Miami. So maybe I just have no idea what the hell I'm talking about because they've done the complete opposite. But I do think that they're going to win this game. And part of that is I think Miami's somewhat fraudulent. I'm not a Carson Beck believer. Mason Heinchel, big bounce back game against Georgia Tech. He looked more like the quarterback that we had seen in the previous games. They ran the football very effectively. Good day for Kyle Lewis. If Miami does lose, and that ultimately eliminates them from playoffs, but if they win and still get held out of the ACC championship game, Bob, I could see with teams losing their conference championships, like if an SEC team potentially loses falls out of the playoff race, which probably is not going to happen, but if there's a little bit of chaos and turmoil in the SEC, that Miami and another ACT team gets in, but that, I think that's pretty highly unlikely.
I think it's highly unlikely just because of the lack of respect. I mean, if you look at last week's playoff standings that came out on Tuesday, and we'll have another one this week, they actually have Tulane in one of the spots.
Tulane would be the highest group of five team.
Right. So that committee puts value in that team and what they've done. So, you know, bottom line is Pitt has to win and they have to hope one of those two teams. Of those other two teams, SMU and Cal, I think Cal's, they just fired their coach, but there's something interesting about firing a coach. When you fire a coach, you can get a result like UCLA did against Penn State, right?
Or how Penn State has gone on a little bit of a run here lately.
Right. I mean, there's an inspirational something that brings that team together. Is that enough for Cal to pull an upset against SMU?
No.
I agree with you. The other one is Virginia in Charlottesville against Virginia Tech.
I think that there's a better chance of that.
Because
happening. Why? Well,
rivalry game, that's
rivalry
why.
Rivalry game, you're on the road. Virginia Tech, for if I don't know how much this matters, but it seems like with Franklin now hired, there's a little bit more pep in their step, and they're also playing for the rights to, hey, are you entering the transfer portal, or does James Franklin want to keep you? Because he's bringing in all new recruits from his Penn State recruiting class. He's going to get guys to try to transfer from Penn State. If you're Virginia Tech, this is an open audition for you. If you win this game, to potentially stick around and be on the roster next year. And I think that that does matter.
No, it does matter. But I don't think it's going to matter enough. So I think Pitt's going to be on the outside looking in only because they need too much help. And I don't see both those teams losing. So even if they do win, you know, still a good season. You know, one conference loss. If you told me that at the beginning of the year, I would have signed up for that, not knowing the other mechanics of what this conference has gone through. But at least it'll be fascinating. It's a noon start. We'll have it for you here on 93.7 The Fan. Now, the other thing, Terry Smith, speaking of a coaching change, they went to Iowa. Had a chance, you know, and again, this is why I think Cal could be in an interesting situation against SMU. Terry Smith has done pretty well given, and what he has now is that players on that team want him to be named new head coach. So they have signs ready yesterday or Saturday on the field, hire Terry Smith, hire Terry Smith. He's done a fabulous job. He's a big time, you know, Penn State guy through and through, and I think will be regardless. But can he end up getting that job? Should he, given the fact he's never been a head coach at that level? And last night, Will Graves on our Showdown made a very good point. Sometimes you can get carried away with all the enthusiasm and the passion that goes into believing one thing. West Virginia had Bill Stewart, who won a big bowl game, and he really hadn't been in a position of head coach before. He was an interim. As soon as that happened, they made him the head coach, and it was the wrong decision.
Remember that run that the Raiders went on with Antonio Pierce
before him? How about the Bisaccia guy? Yep. Same thing. You can get drawn into what, oh man, this guy's bringing energy. He's never done it before. Look, we have it.
Be careful
with
interims.
And I'm not saying that Terry Smith couldn't get it done. It just seems to me that they're running out of ammunition here. I don't know who's left. The guys they seem to have wanted are all either gone or going someplace else. What does Penn State do at this point?
It's a great question, Bob. And I don't know what the answer is. What I would do is keep Terry Smith, whether it be as associate head coach or to make him GM or co-GM with somebody who knows how to run a program in terms of the financial aspect of it. I don't know how, you know, Terry's a really good recruiter.
Yeah, but they have those guys in the city, like, you know, they have GMs now, they have assistant GMs.
They don't have a GM.
But they need one.
They need one, yes. They need a GM to basically be their money guy. So I would try to keep Terry Smith on any way possible and prevent him from going to Virginia Tech with Franklin or, you know, if Pitt tries to poach him. But I do think that they need a head coach that's been there, done that, that has won, or at least it has the experience at that level. Like, I think about how Michigan promoted their, yeah. I get, would you call Sherrone Moore an interim?
Yes.
I guess, from basically what happened with Harbaugh. And they're doing fine. Like, they're getting Michigan back to it. But that's, I think it's easier said than done.
Yeah, I do too. And my question to you, though, who's list? Drinkwitz, I watched their game the other day, and I wasn't impressed with anything that happened
there. And he
has
a bad record against top 25 teams,
just like Rule, just like all those guys. I mean,
Joe Brady,
yeah,
bring him in.
Well, I mean, he has an attachment to Terry Pegula. He's, you know, all this stuff. I just don't. It seems to me like they got to get it done. If you had to look at a time frame, this is what, if I'm them, I'm concerned about. Transfer portal has been pushed back, so you can still do that.
Right.
But you're also, every day that goes by, there's an advantage for somebody else to do something.
There's an advantage for Franklin right now to try to recruit all your kids.
Absolutely.
That you're trying to get.
And you don't think that's going on? Of course it is.
Oh, it already, yes, they're already, Matt Sigg of Fort Cherry went on a visit this weekend. The star quarterback, the four-star they were trying to get from California was on a visit to Virginia Tech, too. Expert projection from, you know, those 24/7 sports and On3 say he's going to go there.
Right.
So you're behind the eight ball right now.
So it will be interesting, and we'll have to see how soon something like this happens. But I think a lot of those players on that team, obviously, like Terry Smith, want him to get the job. But there is some danger in hiring somebody like that just because of the energy brought since the departure of James Franklin.
What would you do, Bob?
That's a good question, because I don't know. I would like to see their list of people. I don't know who else is on it. I think, you know, the Ohio State, Brian Hartline, that's a guy, he has what it takes, it would appear, but I don't know if that's the right choice for them. Who else is being talked about?
There's also been some talk from some people that, will there be a surprise candidate comes out of the woodwork? Nobody really expects. Who is that going to be?
Maybe. Are there any? I haven't heard a lot of names. Well, as far as surprise candidates.
We know they're not approaching anybody like Freeman or Dan Lanning or anything like that. I think everything's being held up by Lane Kiffin, too. If Kiffin does leave Ole Miss, does Drinkwitz get the Florida job? Who gets the Auburn job? Like the SEC, there's a lot of coaching openings as well right now, where Penn State's kind of in lingo with that. So Drinkwitz is an option. If Alabama loses to Auburn, Kalen DeBoer is going to get run out of that town, I think.
Yeah, I mean,
and they don't make the playoffs because one more loss, they're out.
They started with a loss to Florida State, and people said, oh, Florida State. Yeah, I mean, it goes, the more. Now he's going to be out of head coach, Mike Norvell, I would imagine.
They actually are bringing him back next year.
They are going to bring him back. Wow, I was surprised by that, given how they change so frequently. One final question before we go to break here, and that would be James Franklin. I want you, like I've asked people to do, and I've looked myself into my own crystal ball about James Franklin. I think he is going to make a huge turnaround in that program.
Huge.
And I think it'll happen quickly.
Like
I do.
Playoffs quickly?
No, I don't know about that quickly, but within a couple of years, yes. I think you're going to see an influx of talent that comes. I think they're ready for that down there. I think they will support him with whatever they need and NIL money. He'll get the people because he knows how to recruit that area better than anyone. And I think you'll see a big upgrade soon. And I don't know about college football playoff, but within 2 years, I'd say yes. My question is, 5 years from now, is he still the head coach of Virginia Tech? Because you see these coaches come and go, and there are always some big-time openings, and we're seeing $90 million thrown to Lane Kiffin's way. If he has an opportunity to move on to another place, would he do it?
I think he would.
I do, too. I think there would be some fascination that he has with some big-time job again.
Well, there was some smoke around him with the USC job years ago.
Yeah.
And so, did he want the Auburn job? Some people were putting it out there as well. So Virginia Tech makes a lot of sense recruiting-wise, fit-wise, being able to win in the ACC. But ultimately, I think Franklin will try to get back to a power conference. Yeah. I mean, his previous two stops were the Big Ten and the SEC. Maybe he'll go to the Big 12 next, Bob. Maybe he tries to go to all four conferences.
That would be interesting. Four corners of football. He'd take care of them all.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Well, it's a big game coming up. There's no doubt about it. Bills-Steelers, it's a CBS 425 game, which means Jim Nance, Tony Romo, Tracy Wolfson will be in town for that one. As Buffalo takes on Pittsburgh, and the Steelers are currently four-point underdogs in that game. Couple that with the fact that the Ravens and Bengals play on Thursday night, Steelers will know exactly where they are on Sunday, whether or not the Ravens get to 7-5, winners of six in a row, which they'll be favored to do, or 6-6. They can use a helping hand from Cincinnati. We got callers. Before we go, let's get some of them in limits.
All right, let's go to Mike. He is in Fort Wayne.
Fort Wayne, Indiana. What's going on, Mike?
Yes, sir. The home of Charlton Heston and Planet of the Apes, I might add.
How about that? That's an oldie but goodie.
Yes. Patrick Queen finally said it. I listened to that interview again. He basically said they're just leaving two of us in the middle of the field. And to try and decide, do I step up to stop the run or do I step back to cover a slant pattern? They're being fed to the wolves. Thank you, Patrick Queen. It all goes back to when Coach LeBeau left. They interviewed Coach Butler. They said, asked him, what are you changing on the defense? You're going to keep LeBeau's defense? We're going to make one change. The three down linemen are going to rush the passer. So the minute that ball snapped, The front five are out of the play. They're all trying to get to the quarterback. It goes back to this individualistic, like Joe said early, swatting the ball, trying to make a splash play. And that middle of the field, ever since Shazier has been hurt and they changed that, has been the same thing. They just can't stop the run. It's that point of attack scheme change. It's been the problem. It's still the problem. It's going to be the problem.
Mike, I will say you're it's been repetitive, no doubt. But they did stop the run based on what Chicago had done prior to that, and I think that was the first thing they wanted to do when they got there. Unfortunately, in those past situations that I saw, and thanks for the call from Fort Wayne, Indiana, yeah. Appreciate that, and reminding me that Planet of the Apes was made there. I remember that movie.
Yeah.
But I saw, and who was it, Dan Orlovsky put out a screenshot, and this happens too much, where they had a third down and five, Caleb Williams dropped back to pass. Everyone on that defense was given at least 10 yard cushion, which meant a crossing pattern. You hit him in stride, quick release. He's going to get easy 10 to 12 yards. So they needed five, they get 10 to 12. And it's because they're being too much of a bend but not break kind of approach, even though it was earlier in the game for that to happen. Did you see the thing I'm talking about?
No, I don't think I did. No.
Well,
but
I tweeted it. You can see. And everyone on the defense was way back on a third and five call. And sometimes I think they get guilty of that, where there's just not enough urgency off the line of scrimmage. That's another thing I'd like to see more of. You have these corners who you believe in.
Yeah, you're right.
Why not just get in their face early? They need 5 yards. You're not going to give them that easily.
James Pierre is 10 yards away from his guy.
That's what I'm saying. You can't do that, and it makes it easy to pick up first down yardage. You may keep people from making big plays down the field, but you're going to let them get those kinds of chunk plays, and they do make a difference. Yeah. All right, one more call before we go.
Wow, Pierre was standing at the 45, the opposite 45-yard line.
But do you see any defender in the picture there?
No. And no one even near Burden.
Yeah.
Easy first down. All right, here's Chris in Newcastle, Bob.
Chris, what's going on? How are you in Newcastle, Pennsylvania?
Hey, Bob. I'm just wondering, if this season just falls off the rails, what are the chances that they just fire Tomlin? Like, come on. He hasn't done anything in so long. What are they waiting for? Everyone else gets fired and replaced, but why is Tomlin untouchable? They need to get rid of him.
Well, I think at the end of the year, if things don't go well, then they'll have discussions. They often do on everything, but it's about what happens next. And Chris, I will say this. I'm a big picture guy. I want to see what happens at the end of this year. I still think if they win, and would you be surprised if they beat Buffalo? Because I wouldn't, even though they're not favored to do so. They tend to play these games differently than the ones you think they're going to win easily. You know what I mean? So if they do get to 7-5 and Baltimore should lose and they have a tiebreaker, then on Buffalo, I mean, things can be different. But yes, at the end of the year, if things don't go right, they will have a conversation about everything. And we'll see what happens after that. But he just signed a new 3-year contract, so I don't expect that to happen. So they made that choice back in the offseason.
Hey, can I ask a real quick question?
Sure.
Okay, why do they keep messing around with these old quarterbacks? Like, they can't identify a quarterback in the draft and move up and get one. Why are they always doing these, I want Russell Wilson, he's washed up. I want Rodgers, he's not terrible, but he's not the solution long term. So why do they keep, who are they going after next? Flacco?
Well, that's the thing, and thanks for the call, man. I will say this. Thanks. At the end of this season, they're going to have the same question they've been forced to answer over the last 3 seasons, and this will be the 4th. What do you do at quarterback? How do you get that next guy up? They thought they had him with Kenny Pickett. That was a mistake. They shouldn't have done that, as it turns out. But they got to figure out something. And I don't see them continuing on this path, Austin, where they're just going to keep signing guys to 1-year deals and hoping they get something and sort of buying time, kicking that down the road. They got to address this pretty quickly. And I think this draft would be the best time to do it, depending on where they are. And they do have the ability to make a move and move up a little higher in the first round.
Right now, I believe they have the 15th pick in the draft because there's so many teams that are bunched up in a similar spot as them. So if that is indeed the case, Bob, and they are able to pick, let's say, right around 14, 15, 16, and even move up to 10 if they so choose. And we keep talking about how much picks they have. Oh, how many picks to trade up in the draft or to trade next year's picks, and you still have some to be able to complement your roster. That is the most logical solution, I think, is to go back to the draft, try to bank on a young guy that you can develop. Do you trust their development? Hold another question. But to get away from this well of older veteran quarterbacks, I've liked the Aaron Rodgers experience to an extent, but time has come. Pick another quarterback and just hope that you pick the right one instead of the previous quarterback that was selected.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be it. But I will tell you this, it takes a lot of draft compensation to move up in the first round. There's a chart on it, and I'll show you this chart next time I see you just to make you aware, because I didn't even realize this, but to move up just a 5 positions, 10 positions, how much it costs. It's not just this. Like, they have a bunch of third-round picks maybe this year.
Yeah.
It takes more than that. You're going to have to do multiple draft picks over a couple of years and maybe a player or two, depending on how that goes. So, and I'm not even every week we analyze these quarterbacks. At the beginning of the year, no one had Fernando Mendoza on this. Nobody did. There are guys who are rising, guys who are going backwards. I see that Arch Manning had a pretty good game this week.
He's been a lot better.
But I also think he's going to stay another year. I think he knows that. I think they know that. It's better for him to do it. He'll get paid, and he'll have another year where if he's drafted here, he can go to a place where it's not going to help his development at all. So I do think he'll come back for one more year. You have that belief or not?
I think it depends on what he does in the playoffs. If Texas gets into the playoffs and does well, and Arch is a significant reason why, I could see him coming out.
All right, who else is on the list? Because the preseason list that everybody had is not that much.
Dante Moore of
Klubnik
Oregon.
Klubnik does not look like he's Klubnik's worthy of that, good. But he was on the list to beginning.
He should have never been on the list. He's always been significantly overrated. Dante Moore in Oregon, I think, is somebody that should be a target. But then again, he might just go back to school. Phil Knight will just say, hey, how much you want? 2.5?
Phil
sure,
Knight's still throwing
go.
Money around out there, huh?
Oh, yeah. Phil Knight's got all kind of money that he funds that entire program. Like how Joe likes to mention how Mark Cuban funds Indiana. Phil Knight, he's writing all the checks at Oregon.
Yeah, I mean, you got to go to where that is. And they can, obviously, they're going to be quarterbacks who NFL teams think should be chosen high in this draft. But they're going to be also a lot of teams that need quarterbacks. I can go right down the list and look at all these teams. I wouldn't even think Cleveland would redraft a quarterback. That's the most important position you got on the team, really. You need one of them. And so even if you just spent two draft picks on Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders, if you don't like what you've seen, you can draft another quarterback. Why not? They got to get. We've seen teams do that and redraft the same position. So one more call before we go to break. I got some extra time here.
Yeah, here's Mike in Wexford.
Mike, go ahead. What's up? Real quick, please.
Hey, what's up, guys? Real quick, two things that made me cringe is the illegal the way we lined up incorrectly on Rudolph's run.
Yeah, formation.
The formation, which that could have been the seal of the game. That was, I'm like, how do we do that as a professional team? It just boggles my mind.
Yeah, those are the kind of self-inflicted wounds that they often talk about, and that came at a critical time when you look at the 20-yard gain by Rudolph, and then you had the 5 yards of the penalty, 25 yards backwards. And it was at a critical time that they needed to get some points.
That was it.
Aaron Rodgers knew that on the sideline. They cut away. Mason Rudolph, I suspect, would have to know that, or the coaching staff would have to do it, and they can call a timeout if they so choose, but nobody did anything, and that play immediately was flagged.
Yep. And then when I saw DK limping off the side of the field, that also made me cringe, thinking our number one is done. You know, that was
scary. Again, that's all the reason why I thought they should have brought – now, they brought in Marquez Valdez-Scantling, but he hasn't played yet, and they needed somebody maybe even bigger along the way just for insulation in case of injury, but also to solve a number two receiver that they've been trying to solve for the last couple of years. Mike, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Joe, unfortunately, we can't get to you. We are going to do this again tomorrow night. Now, tomorrow I'll be over at the Mike Tomlin press conference. I'm sure you guys are going to react to it when it comes on the air at 12 o'clock. You can also watch it on KDK Plus. We provide that every single week on a Tuesday. And real quick, 10 seconds. What's happened to Pitt basketball? I wanted to get to this earlier, too. They lost to Quinnipiac, who just got trounced by 37 points to a bad team.
Yeah, Quinnipiac is a game that you come in, and it's supposed to be a team that you pay to lose, pretty much. You know, you're coming in
here's some money. Just come in and
let us beat you. And they beat you.
They beat you. Well, that's how they're going to wrap up this show
really
today.
Really bad, Bob.
All right, that's going to do it. One final congrats to the Pittsburgh Riverhounds for winning the USL Championship. Big win for them, and it's a game changer in terms of, I think, future goals that they may have over there. So congrats to them on a run through the playoffs that ended in Tulsa with a penalty kicks win. It's 5-3.
Big congrats.
Yes, sir. All right, Austin, we'll see you again. I'll see you on Wednesday. Joe, will see you tomorrow. We'll check you out and tune us in every night at KDK Plus for the Ireland Contracting Nightly Sports Call. I'm Bob Pompiani signing off, and the PM team is coming up right after a headline from Austin Bechtold.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help. You save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.